Have you been wondering about the effects of the freezing temperatures on plants in the garden? How about what to do with spring flowering bulb foliage or the care and maintenance of peonies? Have you been pondering questions about the plants in your life? Extension horticulturists Richard Duran and Cindy Haynes have answers. From roots to shoots, it's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa, coming up just after the news. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. I'm Julie Englander, and we're talking plants with Extension Horticulturists Richard Duran and Cindy Haynes. They'll take your questions about anything you want to grow or grow better. Call in at 1-866-780-9100. That's 1-866-780-9100. Or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Hello, Richard and Cindy. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a great day.
It is a beautiful day. And we don't usually have breaking news on this show, but there is an announcement that just came across, and I'm hoping that, or perhaps you can comment. The Iowa Emerald Ash Borer team confirmed today that the emerald ash borer, an invasive pest that kills ash trees, has been found in Iowa along the Mississippi River, 2 miles south of the Minnesota border in Allamaquis County. Mm. And this is the first confirmed emerald ash borer infestation in Iowa. And I'm just wondering if you have comments about this sighting.
Well, my comment would be, even though it's been found, most of us really don't have to do anything at this point. There's no need to treat. There's no need to do anything as far as the trees that you have. They typically suggest that there's no need to treat unless the actual insect has been found within 15 miles mm-hmm. of your location. So for most of us, it's not a good thing, but we really don't have to do anything at this point.
And it is something we've expected. We were hoping it would wait another few years before it crossed the Mississippi into Iowa, but we expected it would eventually arrive.
Right. Okay. And there is, we know there's going to be a news conference about this mm-hmm. today in Des Moines about 2:30 this afternoon.
Oh, good.
Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey and Iowa Department of Natural Resources Director Rich Leopold and Dr. John Lawrence from Iowa State University Extension will be there. So we'll be covering the story as well, but I just wanted you to all have the first to chat about it. But do not want to start a panic at this point.
Right.
And
for most of us, we may be able to enjoy our trees or ash trees for quite some time
mm-hmm.
yet. It does spread slowly by itself. It travels great distances by human beings bringing firewood and other things around. So if we do a good job of, let's say, trying to contain it and don't move things like firewood around so much, then we can actually slow it down. So.
Okay. All right. We'll go to our first question here on Talk of Iowa Horticulture Day. We have Patty calling in from Des Moines. Welcome to the program, Patty.
Thank you.
What's your question?
When do I transplant peonies?
Peonies are probably best transplanted after they're through blooming, kind of at the end of the season. So they're just really kind of getting going now, and they have some nice flower buds and should be blooming in the next couple of weeks. So if you can wait until August before transplanting them, then they're kind of done for the season and they move quite readily and easily. And when transplanting them or moving them, make sure that you don't plant the roots too deeply. They really only need to be a couple of inches below the surface of the soil, because if they're planted too deeply, they have a tendency to put up a lot of foliage and very few flowers.
6 inches?
Two.
2 inches.
So keep those buds at about 2 inches, so just below the surface of the soil.
The buds?
Mm-hmm. The buds that are kind of located at the base of the stem and where the roots connect.
The buds, base of the stem.
So if you plant the roots, they have a very coarse, thick root system. If you plant the roots just a couple of inches below the surface of the soil, you're good.
Okay, in August.
Mm-hmm.
And how far up the base of a tree I'm going to add soil? I want to plant some things around the soil. How far up the base of a tree am I safe to go?
Actually, we would suggest not adding any soil mm-hmm. to the base of the tree. that you can plant things around the tree, but don't add additional soil around the tree. That could actually hurt the tree.
Well, the roots have already spread out. That's what I want to be able to plant things underneath this tree, and the roots have spread out, and I can't plant things underneath that tree. So it's the roots that I want to put. But they've already wooded out. There's wood on top of these root bark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason that you don't want to add things beneath the tree is that the roots are there near the surface because that's where they can get nutrients. But they also need to respire. They need to breathe. And so we can place maybe 2 or 3 inches of wood chips around the tree, but we shouldn't place additional soil around the tree. If we, let's say, bring in 4 or 5, 6 inches of soil and place that around the tree, now we're burying some of the roots so deeply that some of those roots may actually suffocate and die, which obviously would not be a good thing. So basically, we can plant things, but we really shouldn't bring in additional soil. If we can't plant things, we can mulch around the tree, but we really shouldn't bring in additional soil.
So these roots came up and got bark on top of them looking for moisture and air? And
No, well, they're not really looking for that, but as they grow, they get bigger and bigger, and those roots that were small at one point now are much bigger, and so they do pop up above the ground. That's pretty common as they get bigger and bigger. But we just leave them, basically, and we can cover them with wood chips 2 or 3 inches. That's fine, but we really shouldn't bring in additional soil. That could actually hurt the tree.
So I can't put plants around this tree?
Well, oftentimes you can, but if the roots are that dense and that large, then maybe you can't. No.
Thank you.
Thanks, Patty. We appreciate the call. You all did want to comment on the care and maintenance of peonies. I know she started with that question. Other ideas that you have?
Other care and maintenance for peonies right now, sometimes some people will make sure that their peonies are staked or supported because some of the flowers are so large. And when we get a rain, after they're open, they kind of end up, laying on the ground. So if you can stake those or support those up, then you can enjoy them maybe a little bit longer. Otherwise, peonies are pretty easy to care for. They bloom well if they're getting enough sun and if they're not planted too deeply. Those are kind of the two biggest tricks in making sure that your peonies perform well in the landscape.
Okay, sounds good. We'll go next to James in Des Moines. James, welcome to Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. What's your question for Richard Geron and Cindy Haynes today?
The winter has been extremely rough on my ewes. Besides the weather, the deer have been chewing on them, and I want to reinvigorate them, get them healthy and growing again.
And how do you do it? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. How do I reinvigorate the ewes?
Well,
I think they'll kind of come back on their own. You really don't have to do a whole lot. You could go out if there's any dead wood in there, any brown dead stuff you can prune out. That would be fine. In the last few weeks, they've had ample moisture, so that's not a concern. You really probably don't have to fertilize them. You can if you want to lightly, but my guess is they can get everything they need directly from the soil. So the main thing is prune out or cut out any dead wood, any brown material. And later on this spring and summer, if we do have some dry periods in June and July, you can water periodically to encourage growth. But as long as they have ample moisture, ample nutrients, they should kind of grow back well on their own.
Yeah, the deer ate some of my ewes as well, and they did a little bit of pruning, and that will help force some of those buds from below to kind of come back, and it will actually force some new growth, and maybe by the end of the season they won't be so spindly anymore.
And something that might help would be maybe later on this fall, maybe trying to protect them so it doesn't happen again. I mean, if it happens again, that's not a good thing. And so if you could prevent that this coming winter, that would be a big thing for next year.
Well, I think we had an unusual winter, and that caused the deer to eat on them. So.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Good day.
Good day to you, too. We'll go next to Barbara in Missouri. Barbara, you're calling from Missouri. Welcome to the program. What's your question?
Thank you. We have a new home with a tiny bit of a yard, and I plan on landscaping it in totally non-grass, in a non-grass manner. But I need something for maybe the first year or two. And I was thinking of something that will replenish the soil, but still stay within the 7-inch city code height. Any suggestions?
I would just go with a common bluegrass, Kentucky bluegrass. It's not hard to kill once you decide or...
Well, okay, let me... I'm sorry to interrupt, but it has to be a situation where it doesn't need any mowing. So would something like white clover work?
Sure. That would be one possibility. I'm trying to think of some other potential grasses. Sometimes we recommend a buffalo grass. It takes a little longer to get established and usually doesn't require much mowing. But but if you want a ground cover, you could use a clover.
Okay, just something so it wouldn't be bare soil, and that I wouldn't have to go back and round up later.
Okay, and that could work just fine, or any other type of thing that you can use as a green manure, in a sense.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. And clover would be a good one. Is it the white Dutch or the someone recommended white Dutch clover? Is that what it's called? Or Dutch clover that doesn't grow very tall? Because you know we have some clovers that get really big.
That's the common name. It goes by various names. Dutch white clover.
Uh-huh. But it stays really low, right?
It should stay below
relatively low.
Yeah. How difficult is that to establish? Because we may not be able to get to seeding it until, maybe summer.
Well, it's difficult oftentimes to seed anything in midsummer because the weather conditions oftentimes are not very favorable.
Yeah.
We can have very hot temperatures. It may not rain a great deal.
Right.
And for any type of seed, typically you need a good moist soil for the seeds to germinate. So trying to germinate anything in midsummer can be difficult.
Okay, it may just have to, like, even if the seed goes down in summer, will it stay dormant until fall then, until the rains come? Is that a possibility?
Well, when you seed something, I would typically try to ensure that it has moisture, which may mean watering, because there's no guarantee that seed will remain viable indefinitely in the soil. So
And another option could be mulch as well, maybe mulching the area.
Over the clover.
Or before you can, do the clover, or in areas that you know you're going to get to maybe earlier this year to help prevent erosion.
Yeah.
Good luck with this, Barbara. We appreciate
the
call.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, Horticulture Day will continue with Extension Horticulturist Richard Geron and Cindy Haynes. They'll be here to answer your questions. Call in at 1-866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We'll be back after a short break. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Horticulture Day. I'm Julie Englander, and Extension Horticulturist Richard Geron and Cindy Haynes are here to answer your questions about the plants you want to grow or grow better. Call in at 1-866-780-9100 or email us talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And that number again, 1-866-780-9100. And we'll go to Dan in Webster City. Welcome to the program, Dan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Got a question about my spruce trees. The deer really did a number on them this winter, and I was wondering, is now a good time to trim them up, or when should I do that?
Well, you should be seeing signs of new growth on them at this point. If you have branches that are basically totally bare, no signs of new growth coming out on them, then those branches basically are dead.
Okay.
And I would just prune them off. And you can do that any time during the year. It doesn't matter. If they're dead, you can prune them out any time. I might be inclined just to wait a few more weeks just to make sure. And so let's say June 1st you go out there and you have branches that are totally bare, no new growth on them, then at that point you can safely assume they are dead, prune them out, and make it look as good as you can.
Okay. So wait a couple of weeks then.
I think I would, just to be on the safe side, just to make sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye. We'll go next to Denise in Boone, Iowa. Denise, welcome to Horticulture Day. What's your question?
Hi, my question also pertains to ground cover, but ground cover for a shady area. Mm-hmm. There is a ditch about 100 feet long between my property and my neighbor's. It is tree-lined on the south side of the ditch, so it doesn't get much sun. So I'd like to reduce my mowing and was wondering if you can recommend a ground cover.
Well, I might suggest going kind of natural or native and plant things that naturally grow in shaded areas and let them spread and kind of take over and do their thing. So possibly things like woodland phlox, Virginia bluebells, bloodroot, ginger,
fern,
Solomon's seal, some of the native ferns. So basically just kind of native things that actually prefer those sites, and they can go to seed and spread and fill in and do their thing. So that would be my thought.
It would require a lot of plants, starts to kind of get this established and get it going, but I think it would look very interesting and it'd be a nice kind of texture. And it would certainly be things that would handle the shade. There are other ground covers, too, that are non-native, things like vinca or lamium that will spread, and ajuga or bugleweed that will spread as well. But I kind of like Richard's idea with a kind of a mix of things because you've got a lot of space.
Do you mind running through that list of native plants again?
Well, some of the native plants that really do well in Iowa, and many of these are also very heavy cedars. They produce a lot of seed and spread very nicely on their own. So things like wild columbine or native columbine, Virginia bluebells, woodland phlox, bloodroot, various ferns, Solomon's seal.
And these things you could probably find at a garden center this time of year especially. So if you just go and ask for some woodland wildflowers or some woodland native plants, they'll probably have a section and they may have quite the selection for you.
Okay, sounds good. I also have a burning bush that's much taller than I prefer. Is the best time to prune that early spring?
Yeah, typically the best time would be late winter, like in March, before it leaves out, where you can actually see it very, very clearly at that point. And you can cut it back quite a bit. You're not going to be able to make it real small, because it's really not a small plant per se. It tends to be a medium-sized to large shrub. But you can cut out a certain percentage, and the plant should be fine. But typically the best time would be like March.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Denise. We appreciate the call. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We'll go next to Bernice in Mason City. Bernice, welcome to the program. What's your question?
Thank you. My question is about lilacs. We have like five lilacs in a row, bushes, and they're about 3.5 foot tall. But the third one has leaves that are all kind of curling up, but they're green, and they seem to be living. They aren't dead. They aren't dry. And I'm wondering if that was a fungus of some kind that's on there, or if I should just leave it go. And because some of the branches have new leaves coming on top.
Well, these leaves on the one plant, they are curled or twisted.
Yes, they're kind of pulled together.
Okay. Did anyone apply a broadleaf herbicide in the last few weeks?
This happened last year.
Oh.
And they're still the same way this year, but they came out green, you know.
Well, if it occurred last year and it's still occurring, I really don't know what's happening at this point. Many plants, many woody trees and shrubs are sensitive to the broadleaf herbicides that are applied in the spring of the year. And if they're exposed to that, that can cause curling and twisting of the foliage. But if it occurred last year, then I'm assuming that's probably not it. I don't know what would cause that. There's no spotting of the foliage, no browning, it's just the curling.
No. No, they're nice and green as far as the color goes.
Well, just leave it and see what happens. There's really nothing you can do at this point. I'm not sure the reason for it. Mm-hmm. They might come out of it. It might come out of it. But just leave it go.
Okay. May I ask another question?
Sure.
We have three ornamental crab trees, and during the windstorm, the wind blew off the top of one, and they were all in blossom. And I kind of figured that it was just so heavy, just broke. But I'm wondering if those ornamental crab trees are brittle.
No,
are they a brittle type of tree?
No, they're pretty durable. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have a storm, if it's strong enough, obviously it can damage anything.
Mm-hmm.
Certain trees like silver maples, cottonwoods, they're very weak wooded. They're very prone to storm damage. Mm-hmm. Then you have, on the other extreme, oaks. Many of the oaks are very sturdy and quite tough, and they're typically the last trees to suffer damage.
I see.
But in this case, maybe there was a bad crotch angle or a very narrow crotch angle, which is very weak and very prone to being broken down in a storm. So when a tree grows, we try to prune it so it has nice, sturdy branches that are well spaced in the tree. And then if they do, they're less prone to storm damage.
I see. Okay, thank you very much for your information.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate
Goodbye.
It. Bye-bye now, Bernice. We'll go next to Paul in Forest City. Paul, what's your question? It's right before the break here.
Yes, hi, good morning. Thanks
hi.
For taking my call.
Sure.
I have a speaking of burr of oak trees. I have a burr oak in my backyard that's looking a little bit tough. It's a relatively young tree. It's only about 20 feet tall, I would imagine. And the foliage beginning last year, I noticed the foliage is looking awfully sparse, awfully thin. There was dead terminal ends on some of the twigs and limbs. It's always had gulls, or at least it's had gulls for a long time. But now, again, with the additional stress, is it simply the number of gulls? Is it being infested with gulls, or is there something else going wrong with it?
Well, I'm not sure what the actual problem is. Gulls are fairly common on trees, especially oaks. And in most situations, they don't cause serious harm to the tree. So I'm guessing something else in addition to that is responsible for the tree's poor health. I don't know exactly what that is, but if you have sparse foliage and if you have dieback in the top of the branches, that does suggest a tree that's not in very good health. I just don't know the reason for it. I don't think the galls are really responsible for that, no.
Sure. Are there some other key things I should be looking for, I should test for, examine?
Well, the main thing that I would probably do is make sure that I don't do anything that would cause possible potential damage in the future. As far as construction activities or things around it that might damage your root system, because that can cause severe damage and that potentially could be fatal. So
we have to take a break here. Paul, good luck with the burr oak. We appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a five-minute break. When we return on Horticulture Day, Extension Horticulturist Richard Duran and Cindy Haynes will be here to answer your questions. Call in at 1-866-780-9100. You're listening to Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. We'll be back in a few moments. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Horticulture Day. I'm Julie Englander, and Extension Horticulturist Richard Duran and Cindy Haynes are here to answer your questions about the plants in your life. Call in at 1-866-780-9100, or you can email us, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we'll go to Gladys in Urbandale. Gladys, welcome to the program. What's your question for Horticulture Day?
I was given a plant for Mother's Day, and I thought it was a Rose of Sharon, but I'm told it's not. It's similar. So if you would know what that might be, and then how should I take care of this plant? It's in a pot.
Okay. There are several hibiscus that are available, and Rose of Sharon is one of them. That's the woody hibiscus that will survive outdoors quite nicely. The other two are a tropical hibiscus, which will not survive outdoors over the winter in Iowa. And then the third one is what we call a hardy hibiscus, which is a perennial which dies back to the ground every year, but then comes back and it produces these really large, beautiful blooms in summer. So there's a couple of options there. If it's not the Rose of Sharon, it could be that hardy hibiscus, and it will produce like dinner plate size, bright pink, red, or white blooms in midsummer. And then the tropical hibiscus usually has much smaller flowers, usually in red, yellow, orange colors. So that might kind of help you decide which one it is.
Well, it's definitely not dinner plate size, but it is a nice size, peachy color, beautiful, probably.
Yeah.
Smaller than a saucer.
If it has a woody stem, and it's not a Rose of Sharon, then it must be the tropical type.
Mm-hmm. And if it's a peachy orange, the hardy hibiscus doesn't come in a peachy orange.
Yeah,
so,
and the stem has been kind of woven.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and so does that tell you anything more?
Yeah, it's going to make a wonderful patio plant for you or a sunroom plant. This is the tropical hibiscus, and it's probably going to need some care or being brought indoors over the winter because it grows as a shrub in Hawaii. So it's not something that's going to survive our winters, but it sounds like a really nice plant, a really pretty one that can bloom and do well for you as long as you bring it in the winter.
Okay, and does it need a lot of water or does it like to dry out or does it need a lot of fertilizer?
Well, outdoors, check it probably every day during the summer to see if it needs water. And just use your finger, and if the soil is getting dry, go ahead and water it. Fertilize maybe once or twice a month with a dilute fertilizer solution. And it should bloom well outside. Bring it inside in the fall before that first frost or freeze.
Okay.
Put it in a sunny window. It will lose a lot of its foliage when you bring it inside because the growing conditions indoors are not very good. And so when you go from outside to inside, that's quite stressful, and they're going to drop a lot of foliage. But don't worry about that. Just clean it up and keep it moist. Your main objective in the winter is simply to get it to survive the winter, where you can bring it outside in the spring.
Yeah, and if it goes outside next spring with just, you know, half a dozen leaves and kind of looking a little bad, it'll still make it.
Okay.
It's a tough plant.
Thank you very much.
Sounds beautiful, Gladys. Thanks for calling. Good luck. Bye-bye. We'll go next to Kathy in Ottumwa. Kathy, welcome to Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. What's your question for Richard Geron and Cindy Haynes? Hi.
Hello, good morning. I have a question regarding pruning trees. I wondered if this is a safe time, like the month of May, to do some very light pruning. We have a few small branches on the lower branches on our trees that could be pruned. We didn't get it done in the winter. They're like maybe 1 to 3 inches in diameter. So I wondered if this is a safe time to take off a few branches.
We would probably suggest waiting and doing that maybe around July or August.
Mm.
Winter typically is considered the best time to do it, like in March, before they leaf out. And as far as spring, as they're actually growing in the spring, we consider that to be a fairly poor time. It's not going to kill the tree to do it now, but on the other hand, it's more stressful for the tree to do it right now. And so we'd prefer to wait and maybe do that once the growth has stopped. And so if you wait till July or August and do it, that would be fine.
Okay. And how, say in July or August, how large of a branch would still be safe to take off? I mean, could it be even larger, 4 to 5 inches?
You can, but the key, I think, would be how many branches are you taking off? For example, I wouldn't want to take off more than maybe 10 or 20% of the tree itself. So if you have maybe one fairly large branch, sure, no problem. But I wouldn't take off several fairly large branches because that may be more stressful. So I would prefer, if you have to take off many branches, to maybe do it over a period of 2 or 3 years, where you take off maybe 1 or 2 this year, maybe 1 or 2 next year, and do it gradually, which would be much more less stressful.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. Good luck with that. We appreciate the call. We'll go next to Greta in Nevada, Iowa. Greta, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
I frequently come across when I'm digging in a garden I used to be in, these ants that have a lemony scent. And whenever I describe this to fellow gardeners, they just look at me like I'm crazy. And I did actually Google lemon scent and ants and found a hit. So I know that such things exist, but I wondered if you guys know anything about these ants and what it might tell me about the quality of the soil. I think they tend to be where there's wood decomposing, and I was wondering if that was...
I want some in my garden. This sounds like fun.
I don't think it really tells you much about your soil that much. Ants are just normal. They're native. I think if you go on the internet, specifically to the Iowa State University homepage, and type in lemon-scented ants, I think you would find an article from Iowa State specifically on them.
Okay.
I have seen an article on them from Iowa State, and I think you can find that by just going to the Iowa State University homepage. There's a search box in the upper right-hand corner, and then typing in lemon-scented ants.
And Donald will be on the program next week,
right.
Who's our entomologist.
Great.
So,
great. Well, I have another question about compost.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to kind of enhance my composting because my materials just sort of sit there. They don't get hot. They don't, burn up the weed seeds that I invariably put in there. So, and they're in about a 4-foot diameter circular medical, like metal corrugated container.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit off the ground. So they do, I don't.
So your question is?
So I want to add I've heard you can add a compost enhancer, like enzymes or...
Bioactivators.
Activators, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And I was about to buy some, and I thought, well, your program's coming right on, so maybe I'll ask you about the best ones or...
Well, there's really no need to add them in most cases. That if you, when you construct a compost pile, if you add a small amount of compost from the previous pile or some soil...
That.
From the
yeah.
garden, those materials will typically contain the things that you need for these microbes to break down the organic matter. Once you have that, then you could add maybe a little bit of fertilizer. Make sure that you have various types of plant material, and then keep the material moist, not sopping wet, but moist, so you do have to water it periodically, and then keep it well turned. And so if you have all those things, you really don't need to buy those activators per se. You really don't.
Hope that answers it, Greta. Thank you.
Well, can I ask also about...
We need to move on, but thank you for your question.
All right, thanks.
Good luck with the compost and the lemon ants. We appreciate it. We'll go to Jessica in Waterloo. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm wondering about transplanting lilac bushes.
Mm-hmm.
They're already established, and they are quite large. They're probably like 10 to 12 feet tall.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This is going to be a fun one.
Well, it's going to be a lot of work, definitely. Those are awfully, awfully big.
Yes.
I guess the first thing would be right now is not the time to do it.
No. Okay.
It would be early spring, early April, before they begin to leaf out. And I think what I would probably do first is probably go out there in March and maybe take out some of the bigger stuff and cut those off near the ground. So the plant is somewhat smaller in size, easier to move. And if it's that big, my guess is you're going to need some help doing it. It's not going to be a one-person job, maybe a two- or three-person job. And you simply dig it up and move it and try to get as much of the root system as you can. You can't get it all, and you don't really need to, but you need to get a certain amount of the root system with the plant. You want to do this when the plant is dormant, so that it has a chance to hopefully develop some new roots before it does leaf out. So we want to do this in early spring as soon as the ground is workable. Keep it well watered, and hopefully it will survive. It may take a year or two to recover, but the first few weeks are going to be the critical point. As far as April, May, and June, as a plant does leaf out, does it survive that initial period?
And don't expect it to bloom well a couple of years after transplanting. Blooms aren't important. It's more important that it establishes a good root system. And then it should be okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
How big or how far out from the main like trunk or whatever should we, do you think we need to dig to get enough of the root system?
It's hard to say.
As much as you think you can handle.
That's why it's going to be a 2 or 3 person mm-hmm. job as far as digging this up and then moving it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you were in an area where a machine could get in, possibly mm-hmm. a tree spade could dig it up and move it for you. That's very easy, but obviously there's a cost to that. But a tree spade could possibly do that. Otherwise, it's going to have to be done by hand, and you're going to need probably 2 or 3 people to simply physically lift it out of the hole and move it to the new site.
Okay.
Thanks, Jessica. Sounds like
Thank
quite
you.
A job, but good luck with it. Thanks for calling.
You.
Bye-bye. We'll go next to Mary in Rippey. Is that where you're located, in Mary? Hello?
Hi. Yes,
Hi.
I am. Thanks
okay.
for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I had my potatoes planted, and they were up about 3 or 4 inches, and then it frosted, and they don't look very good. I'm wondering if I need to replant them, or might they return?
Yeah, the actual potato shoots or stems are frost-sensitive. So if we have a light frost or freeze, you might see blackening of the leaf margin, which is very minor damage. If the temperatures are a bit colder, the entire growth above the ground may turn black and die. But the good news is, even if it does that, they'll send up new shoots from the base.
Okay.
And
good.
So there's no need to replant.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your show.
Thank
Bye.
You. Thanks for calling, Mary. We have an email from a JM asked, can you make a good suggestion for bushes or hedges under a black walnut tree?
Any shade-loving shrub or bush should probably be just fine, even under a walnut. So things like...
I think of gray dogwood, arrowwood
right.
viburnum,
mm-hmm.
okay. bush honeysuckle, which is really not a true honeysuckle. Possibly alpine currant. Some of the plants that are basically shade tolerant. The walnut tree does produce a compound that tends to inhibit plant growth, but by itself I don't think it's going to kill the plant, so you want something that can deal with the shade. That's very important.
Okay. All right. You're listening to Talk of Iowa Horticulture Day, and we're talking with Richard Giron and Cindy Haynes. If you have questions for them, call 1-866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we'll go next to Leon in Des Moines. Leon, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a row of fruit trees. Like I have a pear, a couple of apples, and a plum. And I'm just curious to see if they're getting enough sunshine. They seem to grow really well, really vigorous, but they have not bloomed for the last 2 years. Hmm. And I'm just wondering if I need to move them, because they were pretty small when I planted them, so they could definitely handle a transplant, I think.
Okay. How old are they?
I suppose when I bought them, they were probably, I'd say, like, they were like bare roots.
Okay. But they've been in your garden for how long?
For about 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
My guess is it may be a lack of maturity.
Okay.
As far as sunlight, they're going to need at least 6 to 8 hours of direct sun each day.
Okay.
If they get that, that's okay. If they
okay.
get less than that, let's say they get 2 or 3 hours, that's probably not enough. And I would okay. dig them up and transplant them. But when you plant any type of fruit tree, much of their initial effort goes into root growth and to foliar growth, and so they typically don't bloom for 2 or 3 years. And that's a good thing, because they really need to get established and grow before they start to bear fruit. So typically, that's a good thing. We're not worried about that. And if they don't start flowering for maybe 3 or 4 years, that's a good thing.
Okay. And I was just curious, too. They do get about 2 hours probably in the morning, and then they don't get a lot of direct, overhead sun. And then towards the later day, they're probably getting a good, like, I'd say 4 to 5 hours of sun. Will that make a difference?
As long as it's direct sun during the day, if they get 6 or 8, that should be okay. Ideally, midday would be the best, but as long as they're getting direct sun during the day, at least 6 to 8 hours, that should be okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Leon. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. We'll go next to Doug in Fort Dodge, Iowa. Doug, welcome to Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. What's your question?
Good morning.
Hi.
Another Japanese peony bush, when they're just the stalk coming up, and it's coming up from below ground with some blooms, can you safely cut out that dead stalk, or I think it's dead, or do you just take it down till you get, if some of it might still be green?
Are we talking about a tree peony?
Well, I guess maybe that's what they could be. They're different than the regular peony.
Right, right. You can do some pruning on a tree peony, but I would make it very minimal. Because many times they do produce this, you know, woody growth above ground. And it should be emerging. You should have some bud growth and some emergence from those woody stems. Because it's more like a shrub than just a herbaceous peony,
right,
which is typical.
But we're getting a lot growth from below and the blossoms ready, you know, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the higher ones that are left over from last year, possibly the year before.
Okay.
Could you trim them down a ways till you get into something that maybe looks like it's still alive? Or?
Sure, sure. You can do some trimming if there's. You can remove anything that is dead, and then that will help encourage maybe some new growth.
All right, fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Bye-bye. We'll go next to Jim in Spencer, Iowa. Jim, welcome to Horticulture Day. What's your question?
Well, I had this willow, and I see now that it's broken off, and it's a small ornamental willow, like a corkscrew. But I see down in there that it looks like carpenter ants or something was working at it, and I don't know. Maybe you can tell me, because I'm going to try and take some branches off of that. And get those to regrow. Maybe you could advise me, because it did leaf out, but then I noticed the other day it was getting weak, and this morning it's laying on the ground.
Oh, boy.
So there you go.
Yeah, well, you can root it. Willows root pretty easily, so taking some cuttings from some of that new growth at the ends or twigs, you know, kind of sturdy twigs, it would very successful or very easy to actually just root if you put it in some moist soil.
Rough it up and get some roots and then put it in soil?
Yes. So okay. I think
And in the future, is there something I should be observant of, or is it just after 25 or 30 years that's the way things go with these type of trees?
Well, willows are weak-wooded trees, and they're very prone to breakage.
Yummy trees, aren't they?
They're prone to breakage. They have soft wood. They're also very prone to rotting and decay. And when you see the carpenter ants just confirm the fact that you do have decay. The carpenter ants aren't eating the tree. They're not really destroying the tree, but they're making their home basically in decaying wood. And so when you see that, that's a confirmation that there's some decay or rotting occurring in that tree. And when you have rotting, then they're even more prone to breakage. So the rotting occurred, then you had the carpenter ants, and then the storm hit and it fell over. So,
well, we'll try again. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. We have an email from Ann M. She asks, a couple of programs back, one of the panelists said that not all miscanthus is invasive. I have two questions. Which varieties are not invasive, and what is a reliable source of information about invasive plants in Iowa?
Well, as far as the miscanthus, there are many, many, many species and varieties of that. If you go to a garden center, you'll be okay. What you find in roadside ditches on occasion in Iowa, that's considered invasive, but that's not sold typically at a garden center. So leave that in the ditch. Don't dig it up and transplant it. and go to a garden center where they're going to have varieties and types that are basically not invasive. As far as a site, you could try the DNR, Department of Natural Resources, and they might have information on invasive plant species, animal species, and things like that.
Okay. And we'll go to Bob in Iowa City before the program's over. Bob, what's your question?
Can I trim an oak tree now, or do I have to wait till the season's over?
We would prefer to wait and do it in winter.
Okay.
Our main concern about doing it now is oak wilt, the disease which is transmitted by an insect. If for some reason you had to do it at this point, we would suggest pruning it and immediately painting it with house latex paint, painting the pruning cut.
But otherwise, it's safe just to wait till the leaves are all off, something like in December, something like
December,
that.
December, January, February, yeah, are the best
not
times.
Not critical. I just didn't know if I could touch it now or not.
Thanks, Bob. That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah, wait. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. We had technical assistance today by Lindsay Moon. And Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. We thank Richard Geron and Cindy Haynes today for their expertise. And we hope you join us next week. We'll be back. It's a Friday. It's Horticulture Day. I'm Julie Englander. Thanks for joining us.